You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Outside of family considerations, the idea of the Chicago Cubs as world champions is the best Christmas gift in his lifetime. That's because it had never happened in his lifetime. And what a life it has been. 1961, National League Rookie of the Year. 16 years in all with more than 2,700 hits, 426 of them home runs, half a dozen All-Star games, a batting title, drove in 90 or more runs in a season 10 times, 1,117 consecutive games played, second all-time in the National League. His number 26 retired and enshrined into the Hall of Fame, and on top of which he rhymed. Here's sweet swinging Billy Williams. What an honor to have you on my show. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's good to be on your show, Ed. And of course, after 108 years, whole Chicago and everybody around the world is celebrating. I tell you, it's been a long time, but people enjoying it right here. I know that when we went through it, the seventh game, everybody was crossing their fingers and. All of a sudden, you know, Zobrist got the big hit down the right field line, and we wind up winning. And people all over the world celebrate it because we have a lot of Cub fans around the country.
Yep. This is going to be the longest party ever.
Well, we had 108 years to prepare, and we got a long time to do it. You know?
Right.
We hadn't been there in quite a while, but... The guys, you know, you talk about the team that we had. You know, they played well. I know they started out in spring training talking about, you know, what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And, of course, Joe Maddon put the berg in the ear. You know, it's been a real good year.
A tremendous year. I want to go back to your career for just a second. Who was the first one to coin the phrase, sweet swinging Billy Williams?
I guess this was down in Double A or Triple A when I was down playing in Houston, and I don't know who coined the phrase, but you know it kind of stuck at that time. People started calling me one of the players or one of the managers or somebody, one of the writers. You know, they came up with the sweet swinger. And, of course, it stuck. And a lot of guys, you know, as they go to the Hall of Fame now and be with the guys in New York, and nobody called me Billy. Everybody called me Sweet Swinger. Matter of fact, as a thing happened last year, I was standing up with Murray and at the Hall of Fame at Jane Clark dinner, and we was in the place eating. And Jane have a party up there every year.
Right.
And, of course, I was sitting there with Murray, Eddie Murray, and Griffey Jr., you know, who recently went in the Hall of Fame, and they call him Sweet Swinger, too. So I said, well, come on, camera, give me the camera. Tell the guy to take a picture of me and the other sweet swinger. And he had a sweet swing, too. So everybody called me Sweet Swinger now. You know, nobody called me Billy anymore. And I have, when I go to the autograph show, a lot of people want me signed balls as Sweet Swinger.
Sure. You come to Chicago in 1961. You win Rookie of the Year award in a year, Billy, where you're not getting much attention in the national press because the national press is consumed by the home run race by Marison Mantel.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. They had a tremendous year that year. And if you want a pattern of swing after anybody, it was Roger Maris that year. And I looked at him that year, and he had some great swings. You know, he had his timing the whole year, and he swung the bat real well. And, of course, that was a big thing. It's kind of like Sam and Mark McGwire. You know, they got in a home run race, and everybody was so excited. And we were just beginning to get back into baseball because we had that strike. And I remember Phil Regan and I, you know, my teammate, he was a pitching coach at the time, and we was in Denver, Colorado. And we were sitting eating breakfast, and there was two couples there. And as they was eating breakfast, one of the ladies, not the men, the ladies said, did Sammy or Mark McGuire hit a home run last night? I say, we got him now. You know, people began to come back and see baseball again. So it was exciting that year.
The team that you joined when you got to the major leagues was not very good for years and years and years, and now along comes 1969 with four eventual Hall of Famers, yourself and Ron Santo and Ernie Banks and Ferguson Jenkins, and an incredible disappointment.
It really was, Ed. You know, we played good three quarters of the season. We played outstanding baseball. I remember, you know, when Willie Smith hit the home run opening day, and seemed like it was party atmosphere all year. And we go out and we'd be behind two or three or four runs, and all of a sudden we said, well, we could catch him. You know, we had that kind of ball club, you know, with Ernie, myself, and Santo, you know, swinging the bat real well. Beckett was getting on base, and we just had an outstanding baseball team at the time. And we played good three-quarter season up until, you know, I guess 15 or 20 games, and we fell out of first place. And, of course, the Mets came in at the right time. They had great pitching. And a lot of people said that, you know, we got tired and Leo played us too much, but that didn't happen. The Mets just had great pitching at the time. They hit a perfect spot, you know, going into the end of the season. And, of course, Cleon Jones, my homie.
Right, from Alabama. School, yep.
Tommy A.G., we went to the same high school. Ron Swoboda making the catches out of right field. Everything was geared towards the Mets winning the World Series that year. And we played good. As a matter of fact, as I say, we played good. But the Mets came in at the right time. The pitching, Kuzman, Gentry, Madlock, you know, those guys started pitching well at the end, and they just overtook us. You know, we played good.
They did. They wound up winning the division. This is the first year of divisional play, and they won the division by 8 games and then swept the Atlanta Braves, and then shockingly, after losing the first game to Baltimore, beat a team that had won 108 games in the World Series 4 straight after losing the first game. The Cubs, after 69, Billy, fell short 8 times after you retired in 1976 in the postseason. Was there ever a time in your life when you thought, you know what, I may never live to see these guys get into a World Series, never mind win it?
Well, that began to go through your mind after the 69 season. And, of course, Mr. Wrigley wanted to keep the club together for the following year, and I think, you know, we won a few baseball games that particular year, but after then, I think the team started trading people. Randy Huntley and Bill Hands, I think they went to Minnesota. Beckett went to San Diego, and they wanted to give us another shot, but, you know, we didn't do it. We started to get the young players. We started to go in a youth movement, go in that direction. Yeah, up until 1974 was my last year in the Cubs, with the Cubs. And, of course, I wanted to get in the World Series. And that year, I was calling the office of Mr. Holland, John Holland, who was the general manager. You know, we talked, and he wanted me to come back, but I said, no, I don't want to come back. I want to go with a team, try to win the World Series, because I want to be in a World Series. I want to do something, you know, to be the get the feeling of what it's like playing in October. I never had got that feeling before. So I elected to go with the Oakland A's, and they had won 74, 75, 72, what is it, 73.
They won 72, 73, and 74, right, exactly. 74. They won 3 straight
and
World
I
Series.
I went with the ball club in 1975. We did win a division.
Correct.
But Boston beat us 3 in a row.
Right.
And I remember we was in Boston, Reggie Jackson, myself, my wife, and Billy Knopf. We was all sitting around, and Reggie said, well, we've been there 3 times. We enjoyed it, so we're going to win this one for you, you know.
Mm.
But we lost the 3 games in Boston, and that was one of the closest times that I got to play in the World Series.
And we were with the great Hall of Famer Billy Williams on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Let's move ahead now to this year. You're in spring training in uniform when Dexter Fowler returns. There was the sense, Billy, I think among many people, that now the Chicago Cubs were whole now that Dexter had come back.
Well, this is true. You know, we had filled a lot of position. Of course, we got Zobrist, you know, who had been in a World Series. And, of course, he played for Joe down in Florida. And I think we were all missing Dexter because he had had an outstanding year in center field, catching the ball, swinging the bat, and really good, a typical leadoff hitter. He takes his walks. He could steal bases. He got good speed. He run the ball down in right field. And, of course, when he walked in spring training, I wasn't out there at the time, but I heard about it. You know, the guys is out every morning. They come out and they stand around and, you know, just have a lot of fun, talk about the day and what's going to happen that particular day. And didn't nobody know that Dexter was going to come in spring training. And all of a sudden, when they looked up and saw Dexter, you know, coming in spring training and said, I didn't sign with Baltimore. I'm going to be a Cub again this year. So I think this kind of fulfilled what everybody was thinking, say we got our center fielder back, now we could go ahead and win. Because everybody had picked us, you know, to win the World Series.
Right.
Everybody picked us to win the World Series. Of course, you have to go out and play the game.
Yep.
But, you know, they picked us to win the World Series. And when we got Dexter back, that reassured the team that, hey, we could go all the way, you know. Because everybody – you know, read that stuff, but you had to go out and play.
But my goodness, Billy, of all the years that you have been a Chicago Cub or worked in the organization, the expectations, the weight of the expectations on this team after having made it to the playoffs last year in 2015 were never greater.
Yeah, well, you know, last year we won 97 ball games, and everybody expected when we beat the Cardinals, everybody felt that we would go all the way. But this year, I threw out the ball for the championship season, and of course, when we went to the World Series, I threw out the ball, and I still have that baseball. I told the traveling secretary, VJ, I said, VJ, I want everybody to sign this baseball. And I had my jersey and this baseball, and when I threw out that for the championship season, and of course, I did the same thing for the World Series. I said, I want this ball signed, and I'm going to keep this jersey because I have a good feeling that we're going to go all the way. Way we were playing. You had to have that feeling.
Sure. Was there one moment, though, when you thought they were destined for greatness?
After we got past the Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
You know, Dodgers was a tough team. And, of course, When they went out and pitched, they star pitcher, you know, he was a little tired. I think he went in the playoff. He won some games, and all of a sudden he pitched against us. And I think it was about the fourth or fifth inning, you know, when we overtook him and the Dodgers. I say we could go all the way now because when Rizzo wasn't swinging the bat real good, you know, going into the playoff game. And all of a sudden, he hit it just right, and Bryant hit it just right going into the playoff. And that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big guys start
sure.
swinging the bat real well, and all of a sudden, you know, with Zobrist going and with Dexter Fowler swinging the bat real well, and we have four guys now, you know, swinging good. And, of course, you know, we can't forget about Russell. You know, our shortstop. You know, he got some big hits for us.
Yes, he did.
He got some big hits for us, and of course, Baez. You know, if there was a tenth man in baseball like they have a sixth man in basketball, you know, he would be it because he came out of spring training as a utility player. You know, and all of a sudden he played in about 140 baseball games. I mean, he got some big hits for us. Played outstanding all year. Good defensive player. I've never seen anybody tag as quick as he does.
Mm.
You know, he put the tag on individuals quick.
He has amazing
so
hands.
I've seen him do that many, many times. You know, he have good visions out there playing short second base.
And so what was it like for the final out of the World Series?
When the ground ball was hit to Bryant?
Yep.
Yeah, well, when the ground ball was hit to Bryant, he picked the ball up. You know, he made the catch. I say, oh, put this ball in the center of your glove. And when he threw the ball to Rizzo at first base, and Rizzo caught the ball and tagged, and Rizzo jumped straight up in the air, threw his glove, and he took that baseball out of his glove and put it in his back pocket. I say, Jesus Christ, we have won the World Series after 108 years. You know, we're the world champions. And it was beautiful. You know, I've said it many times, how sweet it is. And, you know, you wait on it a long time. You wait to get the ring, and you wait. And so this is the year. Everybody in Chicago is celebrating. I remember the old people. I was just talking to the mailman a few minutes ago. And his father's living down in Florida, and he's been a Cub fan a long time. As I move around in the Chicago area, a lot of people, you know, elderly people say, are we going to win a World Series in my lifetime?
Right.
They don't have to wait anymore.
No,
they don't have to wait anymore. They've seen it. A lot of people saw it on television. A lot of people were so excited about it, and they have something to think about because this was the year. It was so exciting.
When that double play grounder was hit with the 5-0 lead to put the Cubs in the World Series, you reportedly said, oh, Lordy, we made it.
I said more than that.
I bet you did.
Yeah. But, you know, it was great. It was great. I went to the first series over in Cleveland, and we wanted to get a split over there.
Right.
Because, you know, this year the home team not going to be determined by who won the World Series this year.
Right.
who won the most baseball games. And we would have had home field advantage last year because, you know, we were the tops in that. But, you know, after that double play, after it happened and we scored those runs, and I said, we got the rain. We had to go in the clubhouse. And it was delayed for a while, you know, and all of a sudden we came back out. I understand Hayward had a big meeting with the baseball team
exactly.
In the clubhouse.
Right, in the trainer's room.
And they talked about, say, hey, we won 103 baseball games, guys. We're going to win this one. And, you know, they came out firing. And this is the thing they played for all year. And they said, we're not going to stop here. We're a great team, and we don't want to go out and win. That's because Joe Maddon was an individual who really inspired the guys, let them play baseball, let them enjoy themselves, and put them in the right position, you know, to make great plays. And this was an outstanding baseball team, outstanding manager, coaching staff, did real well. They did the right thing. They had the people, you know, they talked to the guys. They really motivated the guys, and it's just a young baseball team, and we played great last year, but we're looking forward to playing in the next 3 or 4 years great.
Right, because the core of the team is so young.
This is true. This is true. You know, we had the most valuable player. You know, we had two or three guys runner-up for the Cy Young, you know, Hendricks and Lester. You know, they was right there, you know, Cy Young. And, of course, Arrieta didn't have the year that he had prior to coming in this particular year. But he pitched real good. And, you know, the quarter team is still young, and we're going to go out and play some great baseball next year.
So let me ask you this before you go. What's it like to be cheered by 5 million people at a parade? What's that like, Billy?
That was so exciting. You know, I've been having popcorn and watching all this at the end of the year. And when we went through the parade, and as we were going to parade, people were lined up. People were lined up down Michigan Avenue, coming away from the ballpark. And all of a sudden, we're getting in the park. And as far as you could see, there were people. There was, you know, people all over the place just cheering. and just having a great time. And to see that, we knew we had a lot of fans, but it just wasn't the fans in Chicago. But a lot of people came from all over to make that 5 million people. And it was so exciting.
What do you think Ernie Banks and Ron Santo would say?
Oh, they would be so excited. I know that when Rizzo put that ball in his pocket, immediately I thought about winning the World Series. And I went to Ernie and Santo, guys who were my teammates who played here for a long time, tried to bring this baseball team to a World Series and then do it. Excuse me. And I immediately thought about them because they would have been so excited. They were somewhere up there in heaven, I guess, having a beer with Harry Carey, just enjoying the game.
More than one. Here's to the Chicago Cubs, and here's to you, Billy Williams. Thank you so much for being on my show. This is going to be a Christmas and New Year's like you've never had before.
You're right about that, Ed, and we're going to celebrate not only New Year's and Christmas, but throughout the year until we start the season next year. Take care now.
So that'll do it for Billy Williams and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.